Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And if I sound a little weird, it's because I'm heavily medicated.
Yes, and to make matters worse for me, I am sleep deprived. I've been up for pretty much the entire day and haven't gotten a whole lot of sleep.
But Kevin, we record in the morning.
Well, we record in this magical time. It's not in time and space. We're the wizards of time and space. See, I am completely out of it.
Yeah, you're
today.
I am not with it. And I actually can breathe for the first time in, I think it's about 7 days at this point.
Yeah, so this is not going to be a high quality show. And I'm going to warn you, I get loopy and then I just get mean.
Cool. Well, we're going to talk about some topics today that are going to make us all angry.
Good.
But we'll get to those in a little bit. Before we get to that, we're going to talk about movies. We're going to talk about The Orphanage, One Missed Call, and
There Will Be Blood.
And before we get into those movies, here's where you can get a hold of us. You can catch us online, fatguysthemovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. You can go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys the Movies. You can also email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And call and leave us a voicemail. Area code 614-388-8735.
Have we gotten any voicemails lately?
We did get one. We listened to it after the show last week.
From Drew Nugent.
From Drew Nugent, yeah. Our number one fan. And he said that the Alvin and the Chipmunks thing, the Chipmunk voice is kind of getting a little...
give it a rest, huh?
We need to give it a rest. So this week we're going to give the Chipmunks a week off.
Honor of all the death and just dreariness of the...
Yeah,
of the movies that are out right now.
We're going to talk about some chipper movies, and we're both in probably the best shape of our lives. So,
what?
There you go.
No, I was way more in shape when I like wrestled in high school.
No. I was talking about me being sick and you being tired.
Oh, yeah. I'm
so this is like
I'm just going to startlingly start yelling at you.
This is the show of happiness.
I sound like I'm drunk, but I'm not. I just haven't slept in like
days. So let's start with a movie that nobody screened.
Yes, we're going to start off with One Missed Call. It's an English-language remake of a Japanese horror film by a French director. An evil curse is calling people's cell phones with sounds of their own death.
That's not my ringtone.
You have one new message.
That's your voice. That's you. Dying.
It's like you get a voicemail.
Call came in 2 nights ago.
You hear your death.
They get in your head, Beth.
And then you die.
Here's what I want to know, Kevin. How do they hack your cell phone and change your ringtone?
Because they're evil spirits. This is sort of like the Ring meets the Grudge.
Evil spirits that are really good with hacking phones.
Yeah, well, it does come from Japan. So, you know, they...
That's actually the next big terrorist ploy is going to be there. We're going to hack our cell phones and change our ringtones.
Yeah.
To drive us insane.
It'll all be, you know, like some anime background music. Anyways, now that I've completely just derailed off of that one, they didn't screen this for critics.
Probably for good reason.
They didn't screen it for the director. I don't think they screened it for the director's mother.
Are you serious?
No, they didn't screen it for anybody. They just kind of... So they just released the movie. But I have to say this, it's a chance to watch Edward Burns possibly get killed, which to me would be a winner of a movie.
Wow.
Because he's such a terrible actor.
I don't, you know, all right, I have to stop you.
Are you going
to
defend Edward Burns' acting ability?
I like Edward Burns.
With what part?
I loved him in Confidence. I thought he was fantastic.
It was great because he died at the beginning of the movie.
That's not true.
Actually, what I said in my review, I said any movie that has Edward Burns almost dead at the beginning of the movie.
See, all right, you can't hate on Edward Burns. I think he's good.
Totally,
you ever seen
like
the Brothers McMullen?
Yeah, he was terrible.
No, he's good. I want to see Shannon Sossaman bite it, okay?
Well, you're going to have your chance. You're going to come with me and see it?
I can't. I have prior engagement.
Prior engagement.
Known as work.
Known as work.
But I literally, and the funny story about Shannon Sossaman is that we were supposed to interview her at Comic-Con. Brian was. And it was so insignificant that we just forgot about the interview. Like,
what were you supposed to interview her for?
We were supposed to interview her for One Missed Call.
Really?
So we were doing press. So I think it was, we did a round table with Ed Burns, and I did that, and then I had to go to something else. And Brian had to do the Shannon Sossaman thing. And I asked him like 4 or 5 hours later, I said, "Hey dude, did you do the Shannon Sossaman interview?" He's like, "Oh man, I totally forgot."
Don't worry, I bet you she didn't even notice.
And
then I looked
at him and I said, "Oh well."
She didn't even notice.
She was so, and it was the other funny part was it was between her and Clive Barker who was more strung out on the panel interviews because she was just not even with it.
This is actually a true story. I know somebody who worked on a set. I'm not going to say what set it was, but I know somebody worked on a set who, at least from what I was told, his job was to just make sure he knew where she was.
Right.
Because she is out of it. You know,
absolutely terrible.
Your lawyers, Shannon Sossaman's lawyers, can call us at 614-388-8735 if they want to get in touch with us.
Yeah, we're totally totally cool with that.
Implying that Shannon, because we'll go crazy. We'll be like, "Hey, look, Shannon Sossaman's trying to take out the fat guys."
You know what? She can call into the show too. I mean, we're very sorry that we missed that.
I think she's too scared to, because she's afraid that she'll hear herself dying.
Call the fat guys the movies and you'll hear yourself
ding,
dying.
Ding, 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 ding. This has nothing to do with the movie, although I will tell you, it's the original movie, which I'm not even going to pretend I can pronounce, is not like Ring was Ring You. That was easy. Right. This one's like Chaka Waka Waka, Lama Lama Ding Dong, something like that. But it was originally directed by Takashi Miike, who is like sort of the shock cinema.
They're doing some kind of retrospective on him.
I'm not
LA
a big Takashi Miike fan. I've seen some of his stuff, and I'm just like, yeah. Like everyone, we made this top 10 list this summer of the top, in honor of Hostel, like the top 10 most violent movies, and everyone's like completely tearing me apart because I didn't put on Ichi the Killer.
Right.
And I watched Ichi the Killer, and I'm like, okay, well, yeah, but it's just so silly. Mm-hmm. The violence is so silly, it's not even disturbing anymore.
Right.
You know, so what? You got a guy hooked up on you got a guy hanging from the ceilings from fish hooks and you're pouring boiling oil over his back.
It's kind of like the scene in Juno where she's sitting there and they're watching the old school horror and she's sitting there laughing at the old school horror. Like, this is so terrible.
Okay, I follow you now. You're like, oh yeah, like the big torture sequence in Juno.
Yeah. No, you just sit there and you're like, God, this is just dumb.
No, I this is going to be another one of the same, you know, 5 years ago, this was really unique with The Ring, but you know we've seen this before so many times with The Grudge, with Pulse, with Dark Water, Japanese imports. There's nothing all that original with them anymore.
Nice.
Preemptive
suck. And speaking of Dark Water, we're going to review a movie in the next segment that was called by one of our favorite friends, Dark Water in Spanish. It's called The Orphanage. We'll be back in a second. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We're rolling on into the big number two segment.
God, don't even start. Don't even start.
There's no way to make that sound appropriate.
I'm way too vulnerable to start getting giggly over scatological jokes. And
anyways, so the next movie we're going to talk about is...
I'm a mature individual.
There Will Be Blood, Paul Thomas Anderson.
P.T. Anderson,
P.T. Anderson.
Not to be confused with P.T. Barnum.
Yep, Daniel Day-Lewis and Paul Dano star in the story of an oil baron and a preacher clashing in a Texas desert. Let's listen to a clip.
There's a whole ocean of oil under our feet. No one can get at it except for me.
We'll offer $150,000 for full title.
When do we get our money, Daniel?
Don't bully me, Daniel, please!
I see the worst in people.
We have a sinner with us.
Get out of here, devil!
I have a competition in me. I want no one else to succeed. I can't keep doing this on my own.
I can't keep doing this on my own either. Yeah. I need your help.
All right.
For this ocean of oil that's underneath my feet.
Well... You know,
it's oil. It's like sweat.
After we get through this one, we'll get to a movie that I've seen as well.
Okay.
Because I didn't see There Will Be Blood. But
oh yeah, that's right. You weren't there.
Yeah, you may have heard of this movie. It's getting all kinds of great buzz.
I've heard of it. I saw it even actually.
Well, you, what I'm talking about, our listeners may have heard of this movie because it got nominated for a couple Golden Globes. Every critic in the world, except
it has
for
a train in it.
Me. It has a train.
It has a train.
And Daniel Day-Lewis.
I don't care about Paul Dano. It has a train.
Paul Dano was in one of the best movies of 2006.
Okay.
Little Miss Sunshine.
This movie was like the movie Sleuth, which didn't get a whole lot of any nominations, the new version. I thought the first like act, I always hate to talk about three act structure because it sounds so pretentious, but you know what, the hey, that's how they do them. Mm-hmm. The first act was brilliant. I mean, just some of the best filmmaking you're ever going to see.
Right.
And it's tense. It's got incredibly weird and strong characters. And second act, it's okay. Not so bad. You know, it's
it was just there.
It's not terrible, but it's not great. Third act just goes completely bonkers. Mm-hmm. And while it's interesting to watch and the acting's incredible, I remember just sitting there going, what? Huh? That was my response to it.
And that was your whole response.
That was my, and I don't know how, when I figure out how to spell it.
If you go to filmschoolrejects.com, it's Kevin, Kevin Carr's review.
Be like, what?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really cool. Daniel Day-Lewis is awesome in it. And Paul Dano actually kind of steals the show at some points, which is
right.
You know, pretty doggone cool to do to Daniel Day-Lewis. Because that guy's got enough acclaim. The heck with him.
All right.
And, you know, he was using both his feet with this movie. So, I mean, but it just kind of went completely crazy.
Right.
So...
Okay.
There
you go. It looks interesting.
I told you I am so out of it.
I think I'm going to see it next week. We have another screening right before we have to vote for for the awards. And it was one that I was very, very upset that I missed because of, well, I have another job, you know. The corner isn't going to work itself.
That's right.
So there you go. So give us your official grade there.
Me?
Yeah. What? Well, no, the other guy behind you.
We don't have a guest this week. I'll give it a kind of rocks. I'll give it a kind of rocks for just the first half. The first half is so good.
Now, is it like top 10 kind of rocks?
Not for me.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, it made it into a lot of top 10 lists.
It wasn't in my top 10 list.
Wasn't in mine either, so there you go.
But then again, Black Snake Moan was in my top 10 list, so that shows where my mind's going.
Transformers was in mine, so there you go. And moving on, we're going to talk about The Orphanage. It's the eerie tale of a woman haunted by the ghosts of children in an old orphanage, and it is also in Spanish.
Everything around her begins to vanish. Now she's alone in the darkness. Four. Three. Two. One. You can open your eyes.
Did you hear that? I think her cell phone rang, and it went like this: ding, ding, ding.
Well,
ding,
here's the difference in movies like One Missed Call and The Orphanage.
One's in Spanish, and one's in English.
Well, one's in Spanish and one's in English. But you know what? I think The Orphanage was at least a very semi-original story. It was. You know, not something that
was original,
directly adapted from another movie
like Transformers was.
Right. And I thought The Orphanage was very, in my eyes, I just watched it today because I have a screener and
go ahead and brag about that.
Sorry.
I get sent movies. You yahoos have to go to the theater.
But what you have to understand, and our listeners do understand this is how I have to see movies because I'm so busy otherwise that I don't.
They don't screen the movies at 3 a.m.
Right. I'm that cool critic that they have to like bring the print to my house because otherwise I'm not going to see the film. But really?
The people at Picture House made you popcorn.
Yes, they did. I was in a state of shock through most of this movie. It was just very, very arresting, I would say. Okay. There were some moments in the film. There's one scene very early on in the film where an old lady gets hit by a van.
We'll just give it away. It's about halfway through, dude. That's not in the beginning.
And
it does not open up with a woman getting hit by a van.
It is quite an intense scene.
Does this have anything to do with the fact that you're a big old panty waist?
No, you know what? And trust me, I watched it in my own home with all the lights on. But
even though it was in the middle of the day?
Even though it was in the middle of the day. But
clutching your Build-A-Bear?
It's not. It's another one of those movies that's not gross. It is just scary. It has its moments of, you know, there's a little bit of blood, a little bit of this here and there. But it's not there to shock you. It is there to mess with your head and scare the crap out of you, and it works. Yeah. And it was a beautiful film. It You know, I think it's probably one of the best horror flicks I've seen all year.
Yeah, I'll give it. I'll give you that. And I thought that the imagery was really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
And it, and they slapped Guillermo del Toro's name on it. And I don't know how much involvement he was
Well, they say that he championed it. He kind of took it and got it some more
Was he
money.
Sort of like how the Weinsteins produce a movie when means they just acquire
no,
it?
No, he was the actual
producer. Did he
producer
actually produce
on the
it
film.
From like, yeah. Okay. Nothing against Guillermo, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they used it to get it out there, and I think it deserved to be out there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it had everything against it. It's in Spanish. And
well, it's not going to do really well just
Spanish
simply because Americans.
It's a foreign language.
Americans. Well, let's put it this way.
We don't like to read.
At least 60% of the Americans who don't speak Spanish aren't going to go see it.
Right. So,
and it's Spanish. Spanish. It's not even like. It's from Spain. It's not right. From Mexico.
So what's your grade?
Kind of rocks.
I'm going to say totally rocks. And with that, we have to go to a break and we'll be back.
Flowers lonely, I burn out slowly like a cigarette. Would you kiss me?
And we have returned on Fat Guys the Movies. We're you're no less tired and I'm no less sick.
Well, we go to if I haven't been to sleep since the last time we spoke. I probably am more tired.
Yeah. Yes. So if Kevin dozes off at any point during
so out
the
of it.
Box
I'm like
office,
blinking my eyes. You ever see that cartoon with Tom and Jerry where Tom was so tired? Do you watch Tom and Jerry?
Here and there.
I love Tom and Jerry. And he was trying to, and like the really politically incorrect big fat black maid wouldn't let him go to sleep. What else do you say? I mean, she was Thomas. I mean, what? Come on.
Never,
that's my review.
You win.
But she wouldn't let him go to sleep because she wanted to catch Jerry. And so he's like using toothpicks to prop open his eyes. And he like
oh, yeah. And it's like all
that,
bloodshot. Okay.
Bloodshot. And then there's the, they had the, you know, the, Jerry put up a sign and says, "Are you sleepy? You know, want a bed? Solid comfort straight ahead." And he went and he slept in the bed. And the old big fat politically incorrect black maid came and beat the crap out of him.
Wow. Nice. Well, I always picture the you ever watch Ren and Stimpy?
Yeah. Well,
where they do like the really
like,
gross close up shots.
Eyes. But see, I like the old Ren and Stimpy like beforehand. They got to a point where they were just trying too hard to be just obnoxious.
Right.
Like go back to the old powder toast man where he farted on toast and it turned into like cinnamon. That was nice.
Awesome. It's also a parlor trick that Kevin Carr can do.
I can do. Send me toast. I will fart on it.
I will make your toast cinnamony with my butt. Wow. All right. Well, thankfully we're in the internet only segment here. Talking about cinnamon toast.
Cinnamon toast crunch.
I don't want to know what the crunch is either. So let's talk about the box office. Last weekend.
No!
Yeah, well, no, we got to talk about box office. This is that segment.
Reason for it. I'm going to take a nap. Hold on.
So last week we had a discussion about Alien versus Predator.
Yeah.
Obviously. And it didn't do so well.
It did very well on Christmas Day.
And then not so much afterwards.
Yeah, and then the Predators ate the box.
And then everybody just kind of reverted back to you know, what they were going to see before,
yeah.
Which was number one National Treasure Book of Secrets at 54 million, Alvin and Chipmunks at 41.
Oh, wait a minute.
This is the three-day weekend.
So you're saying that Alvin and the Chipmunks beat Alien versus Predator?
I suppose.
I think you owe me a push-up.
Oh, jeez. Do I have to do that now?
Sure.
Oh, shoot.
All right, hold on. Let me get the... You did this to me, so I'm going to take the microphone here.
If I die.
It's a very high-tech site here. Hold on a second. I'm not even getting out of my chair. This is how lazy I'm being. I'm just rolling my chair over. Now you got to grunt like a girl.
Okay. One. There
you go. Do you want our producer, Richard, to sit? Oh, my God. His face is so red. I think he just burst something. I think Neil just had an aneurysm.
Oh, I was busy working out all day, so.
Doing what? Working out how?
Doing push-ups all day. I did too many today.
What, one?
Yeah.
that was too one many. Too many?
Anywho.
Dude, how are you going to beat up Jason Statham at Sundance?
I'm not going to beat up Jason Statham at Sundance.
Well, he's going to be there at Sundance promoting his Uwe Boll movie, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I'll have Gerard Butler there with me.
And your mom. Your mom's shirts are so cool.
Yeah, we need to say thank you to my mom and my aunt.
Thank you, Mama Miller.
Yeah, and, for picking up
and Neil's up aunt, who I don't know what your last name is, yeah. But it could be Miller.
My Aunt Missy. She's awesome.
Thanks, Missy.
She lives in L.A. She's pretty cool.
They had a coordinated two-state effort on this.
Well, no, she was in town.
She just okay.
For Christmas, and they ordered them. But you know,
is this the aunt that has all the cool connections?
Yeah, she knows people.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, anyways,
does she know Jason Statham?
No.
Can she explain to me?
But she has a really funny story about Leonardo DiCaprio borrowing a cigarette and spilling water on her.
I've heard that he's a bit of a chain smoker.
Yeah, totally. I can't tell the story, so I won't. Anywho,
I can tell my story.
What?
I don't have one.
Okay, fair enough. Let's tell the story of the box office. We had Alvin and the Chipmunks at number 2. We had I Am Legend at number 3. Charlie Wilson's War at number 4. The notable is Juno at number 5, pulling in $16 million in only 1,000 theaters.
Wow.
Which
That's
is big.
Almost like me eating an entire pizza in one sitting.
That's actually not that.
I have no idea what the relevance is. See, I'm completely loopy. By the 5th segment of the show, I'm just going to be mean.
All right, fair enough.
It's like the grumpy
I can handle that.
Like, shut up, Neil. Get to the damn reviews.
But I will say, and as we roll into theater counts, Juno is going to be in 1,000 more extra theaters this week. It'll be in 1,925 theaters. So, and I think we both pretty much agree this is one of the best movies of the
Juno
year.
Juno is infecting the country like the AIDS virus.
Yes. The funny story, I actually...
Do you think they're going to pull quote me on that?
No. My speaking of pull quotes, I ended up somehow on the Juno site wedged in between Richard Roper and Ty Burr from the Boston Globe.
I hope they, you know,
I don't know if that's by like coolness or not, and Neil it's sandwich. In descending order, but I'm pretty sure I'm cooler really want, than Richard Roper.
Do you really want to brag about how you're sandwiched next to Richard Roper?
No, I don't. But my quote that they used was Juno is the best film of the year. By a mile.
Can you get in touch with your Fox Searchlight compadres and send them my quote that Juno is infecting the country like the AIDS virus and see if they'll
No, I think it'd be more the rage virus, wouldn't it? AIDS
no,
is slow rage and you
is
have
way
to have a
too
lot of
politically.
Sex
Dude, and... Okay, then let's say Juno is spreading through the US like a chancre on your privates from syphilis.
I'll see what I can do. We'll actually put that up on the front page of Film School Rejects.
There we go.
Or not.
I will get no more DVDs from Fox Searchlight, yeah. I can guarantee.
We're officially off all of Fox's lists, I guess. Anyways.
I want my damn Darjeeling Limited DVD. That's all I say.
We're just so mad about Darjeeling.
It was like, I put that on my top 10 list. I said, this was...
The best movie that I didn't get a screener for?
Well, no, I said this one was forgotten by audiences and critics, and apparently the studio who pushed it.
Right.
I mean, they sent us screeners for The Namesake, for crying out loud.
Right. And your favorite movie of the year, Waitress.
Waitress.
Yeah. Gotta love that
Which, you know what? Okay, this is a complete aside because I'm not on track on
like,
anything.
Like there's any today. Track to this show.
In the DVD of Waitress, you know, I feel terrible what happened to Adrienne Shelley.
Mm-hmm.
And they... go on and on and on the DVD about how terrible it is she died, but they never explain actually what happened to her.
Right, I mean, it's really gruesome.
Well, yeah. Well, I know what happened, but it's awful, but they like don't... They just say she died, so you don't know if she... Because she was murdered, but you right. don't know whether she was murdered or whether she committed suicide or whether she tripped and fell and broke her neck or if she got in a car accident. I mean, they just sort of like have this very innocuous, which it was kind of just weird.
Right.
Because, it's, I mean, because she's young, and so it's not like... And they have like this Adrienne Shelley Foundation, so you're like, well, did she die of cancer or something like that? You know,
right.
I mean, what is it supposed to do? Is this foundation supposed to, you know, educate
people on not getting murdered?
Yeah, like immigrants who have rage tendencies to not kill people who complain about construction noise.
We've just gone down the wrong road here. There's no way back from this, except if you give us a good top five. Who's going to win the box office this week?
Waitress.
Not Waitress. But I will say this.
Dougal's going to win at the
one,
box.
One missed call is only in 2,200 theaters.
One missed call isn't
it's
even
like
going to come
eight.
Close to the top five. Are you kidding?
Right.
Me? Alvin and the Chipmunks is going to completely bitch slap One Missed Call.
So it's safe to say I'm gonna do the top five this week.
I think we'll have a repeat, but go on.
I think it's going to be National Treasure. Yes. I think it's going to be Alvin and the Chipmunks. I think Juno's going to move up to third, and then it'll be I Am Legend, and I don't know, probably Charlie Wilson's War.
I don't know. Maybe I Am Legend will be over.
I think the top five is going to be the same, just in a different
order. But I think our Charlie Wilson War, Charlie's Wilson's War. I'm not drunk. I'm just really
tired.
It's
bad that you have to explain that to people.
But Charlie Wilson's War, I think, it's getting some legs, which is so surprising because it was such a disappointing start.
Just like Juno. Those are the two that seem to just be moving up every week a little
bit. Well, but Juno was strong from like the minute it was released. Charlie Wilson's War, it's sort of like getting kicked in the groin at the beginning of a track tournament and somehow miraculously recovering.
All right. Cool. I just don't know what to say to you this week.
I don't know what to say
But in the second half of the show, now that we've talked about all this stuff, we're going to talk in our second internet-only segment about our 10 most anticipated films of 2008. And we're going to talk about some topics, including but not limited to Kristen Bell.
And Waitress.
And Waitress. We will be back on Fat Guys in the Movies. And we're back again. We're both still here.
Again. Damn it. Jeez, we're still around.
I'm sure you missed us during the break.
I missed me.
Okay. I miss myself, too. So we're going to make this nice and quick. We're going to run down No, it's not going to be quick at all. We're going to run down our 10 most anticipated films of 2008. Now, this isn't necessarily like everybody's most anticipated. This is the ones we're looking forward to.
Yeah, and like stuff like 27 Dresses.
Right. If you want a definitive list, head over to Film School Rejects and read
College Road Trip.
The 20 most anticipated films of 2008. That one's pretty definitive. Like I think In the Name of the King. Whatever Cedric the Entertainer puts out, I'm there.
Oh, he's in something.
Yeah.
He's in that like.
Oh yeah.
Family reunion or there's
Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins.
Oh my Lord in
heaven. That's one of the two.
Is there no God?
That is one of the two Martin Lawrence films.
Mad Money, which has nothing to do with Cedric the Entertainer, but it might as well.
Might as well.
Considering the quality.
There is one with Cedric the Entertainer. I will find it.
No, it is. It is. It's that Roscoe Jenkins
thing. It's a different one.
No, it's the one.
There's another one.
Oh.
With him. I don't know. I'll find it while we do the list here. So we'll start at number 10, which is Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay.
That's right, because apparently the serious war films were not doing well.
Yeah.
So let's make one.
Let's make a dumbass one. Well, I'm really excited about this. I think everybody is, just in the sense that the first film was so much fun because it was so stupid.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. So why not make
another
one?
And they have Doogie Howser back.
And Neil Patrick Harris is back. And the trailers look ridiculous. There you go.
My favorite part of the first movie
was
in the DVD, their interview with Neil Patrick Harris, where he's like talking about how he was giving him suggestions on the script.
Right.
That you saw the movie and you knew none of the script suggestions ever even came close.
Right.
It was awesome because Neil Patrick Harris basically was...
Right,
the arrogant bastard that he played.
Exactly.
He's like, well, so I suggested I do this, and then like 5 years later, they're like, you know, he's like, can I be in your movie again?
So I'm excited for this one, just because it'll be a nice break from all the other crap that's probably gonna come out in the first part of the year. So,
crap like number nine.
Number nine.
Which is Rambo, which I'm looking forward to. Neil is not.
I'm not. Because so
Neil's anti-American.
Well, I was the same way with Rocky Balboa when I was like, man, there's no way this is going to be good. And then I saw it and I was like, oh, it was pretty good. So, you know, I guess we'll see.
Is he going to... Is John Travolta... I'm not. That's not John Travolta. That's
Sylvester Stallone. Wow.
Is Sylvester Stallone going to like...
close.
Is he going to make like a sequel to... like Cliffhanger next year?
Cliffhanger 2. I want Arnold Schwarzenegger to come back and start doing the same thing that Stallone is doing.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is like in his 60s.
I want another Predator movie. They're both in their 60s. Stallone is in his 60s. I want Conan revival movie.
I think what they need to do is they need to have both Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hell, throw Lou Ferrigno in there too. And have
Isn't
him do...
dead?
No, he's not dead, is he?
I don't know.
No, I saw he was at Comic-Con. He's like always at Comic-Con. He's like, yeah, let me sign your autograph.
He actually lives in the basement.
He does. He pretty much does. But you ever watch the Saturday Night Live when they had Tonto, Tarzan, and Frankenstein sing Christmas carols?
No.
And that's what they should do. They should release a CD of Schwarzenegger, Stallone, and Ferrigno. Should be and that's what all the songs would sound like because, and then they could like beat each other up.
Cool. I mean, that'd be good, like, special feature DVD thing. Yeah.
But Rambo looks cool because they shoot people and they're like they explode.
Right.
And it just looks like it's going to be a lot of violence. You know, it looks like it's going to be a fake Traces of Death video.
Faces of Death?
Traces of Death.
Traces of
Faces
Death?
Faces of Death, they like recreated stuff and they had slaughterhouse footage. Traces of Death were like actual like videos of people getting killed. Like the guy from like Pennsylvania who shot himself.
Right.
At a press conference.
Nice.
Dwyer or something like that.
No idea.
Where he's like, he stands there and he's like, well, he's like going to resent. He was like some political scandal and he pulls a gun out of a bag and shoots himself in the head and just blood comes pouring out.
Nice. Anyways, moving on to number 8 is the mysterious monster movie known as Cloverfield.
Not a monster movie.
It is a something movie.
It's a movie about Japanese crickets.
Japanese crickets that attack New York City. Something attacks New York City in this film, and it is big, and it is winning, if you've seen the marketing campaign.
You know, I've seen the picture, and I think it's Philip Seymour Hoffman's ass from before the Devil Knows You're Dead attacking New York City.
It could very well be.
Because that could easily rip the head off the Statue of Liberty. Yep.
And if you're excited about this, this is also for the Star Trek fans. If you're excited about Cloverfield, there's going to be a Star Trek. The first trailer for J.J. Abrams' Star Trek movie is going to be in front of
So you can see how much it's going to suck.
So you can see how much it's going to suck.
On 118.08.
Right. So, I mean, there's really not much more you can say about this film. It comes out on 118.08. We'll talk about it in like 2 weeks.
If you throw up seeing Cloverfield, take a picture of it and send it to fatguys at the filmschoolrejects.com.
Yeah. Cool. Nice.
Number 7, Prince Caspian. The Chronicles of Narnia, part D.
Part D.
And the kids are little, you know, it's only a year has passed, but they're like 4 years older.
Right.
And Narnia is like 15,000 million years later, and there's a lion in it at some point.
Right. Liam Neeson's back.
But it looks cool.
And you know what? I will give it this. I was a little bored with the first one because there wasn't a whole lot that happened.
It's because you're a soulless bastard.
The second one looks like there's a lot more killing. So I'm in.
Okay. It's kind of like Rambo.
Yeah. So moving on, number 6, a movie that was guaranteed to have some killing in it, is Hellboy 2 from Guillermo del Toro.
You know what I think's funny is I saw a trailer for this. They're like, from the maker of Pan's Labyrinth. And I'm like, oh, come on. When Hellboy 1 came out, you didn't give this guy that much props.
Right. I will say, though, it looks like it's got that very cool, you know, Guillermo del Toro touch, that kind of the... He has his own style. Yeah, I mean, so it'll probably be a little bit bigger than the first one, and you know, I'm down with it.
You know what I hope they do in this movie?
What?
I hope they show Selma Blair's boobies.
I doubt it, but
Selma.
You never know.
Come on,
Selma. I mean, come on now.
Show me your boobies.
And Kevin Carr is officially crossed over into Loopy. So read number 5 there, Loopy boy.
Zach and Mary Make a Porno, Kevin Smith's next film about two people making a porno.
And here's the line on this one is what's going to happen when you put Kevin Smith with Seth Rogen. We're going to see how funny it is. And they, you know, for you, we have Elizabeth Banks, who's
You're talking
very
to me?
Hot. Yes.
Okay.
So
I'm cool with Elizabeth Banks.
We have the humor. We've got the hot chick. And it has porno in the title, so
but it's like,
there's
gonna, like,
no way.
Is she going to be tainted by Seth Rogen having sex with her?
I don't know. All I know is that Seth Rogen, for the second year in a row, is going to have sex with a drop-dead gorgeous woman, and I'm not.
I don't need to see any more of Seth Rogen having sex with anybody,
right?
Himself or anyone else.
That was actually a funny story, is that Josh Radi on Film School Rejects wrote an article of the 10 most memorable scenes of 2007,
yes.
And one of those was the scene from Knocked Up where they're having sex. And
yeah, but he also said pregnant. That I look like more of a child molester than Chris Noth did in his IMDb picture.
So, I don't know.
So, Josh.
You do look creepy in that Fat Guys of the Movies band.
Josh, you can go to hell.
Nice.
Number four.
Number four is Iron Man. Have we talked enough about Iron Man this year?
Yeah, let's just move on.
It's going to be awesome.
By the time the movie, I'm going to watch the movie and I'm like, Jesus Christ. And you're going to be sitting next to me and you're like going to get moist. It'll be gross. Number three, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
This one I have a feeling is going to make you a little moist.
This is going to make me moist, but I'll tell you, senior citizens kicking the crap out of each other like we talked about.
Oh, yeah.
I'll still better. Go see it. But, you know, I said to somebody just on offhand, just because I knew it, it's like, it's been 18 years since they made an Indiana Jones movie.
Right.
What the hell?
Well, and I was reading Vanity Fair just had a...
You read Vanity Fair?
No.
You are
I read
so
it online.
Gay.
All right, fine. I do. But they had an interview with Steven Spielberg, and he said...
Steven who?
The director of Indiana Jones.
What's he do?
He's the director.
Has he done anything before?
No big deal. He did like E.T. It was a small. Schindler's List. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. But
was Schindler's List about the alien?
No, that was... Never mind. E.T. was about the Nazis.
That's right. Those damn Nazis with the guns shooting kids that they digitally removed.
So,
which one had the shark in it?
I have no idea.
It was...
Saving Private Ryan.
No, it started with a J. It's a...
Jaws?
No, it's not Jaws. It's something
Jaws
else.
2?
No,
Jaws. Jaws 4.
Jason and the Argonauts.
Oh, that's cool. Anyways. So, but he said that he wanted to make it, instead of updating it for, you know, modern times and you know, going with the Bourne style action or trying to go over
yeah,
the top with it.
Yeah, it's got to look like the old
make
ones.
Make it look cool. He said that he's absolutely making it just like the old one. It has the same spirit of Indiana Jones.
He's not going to have one of those crazy-ass super 180-degree things
yeah,
around
probably
the,
no,
the car with
no
Dakota
Michael
Fanny
Bay
screaming.
Gasms in Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal
and he's not letting
Skull.
Tom Cruise anywhere near this movie.
Oh, please, no. So
unless he plays a Nazi that gets killed.
Nice. So speaking of another movie that will probably have Tom Cruise nowhere near it. In fact, it has very few humans at all.
In fact,
except for Fred Willard, who's awesome.
Valkyrie is nowhere on this list.
Yes, not even. It might be in the worst list. But WALL-E from Pixar. I know you're really excited about this one.
WALL-E. That's how
I will
say
this. When I first saw the stuff at Comic-Con when they announced WALL-E, I was a little skeptical. Yeah. Because I'm like, are you seriously going to make a movie about a robot that doesn't talk?
Well,
and
that and
nothing else talks around him.
That and you were in that room for like 3 days with a bunch of guys who don't bathe.
Right. It was beginning to stink. And I was like, is this the movie
bitter.
That smells or is this the guy sitting next to me? But
I think Jason.
So I'm not. I will say this. Jason was on one side. There was a weird guy on the other.
Brian from Film School Region.
Hey, I was going to not name him, but there you go. I will say this. I'm not totally sold on WALL-E yet. I still want to see more trailers. I still want to see how the human characters interact. It's basically just about a little robot who's the last entity on Earth and ends up leaving Earth on a rocket ship to go find the humans and bring them back.
Yeah, but you know what? So, Andrew Stanton described it as R2-D2 the movie.
Which is cool.
It totally sold me.
Right.
Because he used it to describe, he said, geek. You know that scene in Star Wars where R2-D2 is going through the cavern mm-hmm. and the Jawas come out and shoot him? You totally understand every emotion, every thought. You understand everything he says.
Right.
You know everything R2-D2 says, and that's he said was the inspiration for WALL-E.
All right, fair enough.
He's soulless bastard.
So we'll see how it goes. And then number one?
Sex and the City.
No, not at all. The Dark Knight.
What was that about?
It's just a Batman movie.
Is that the one with the shark?
So Heath Ledger is a Joker, Christian Bale back as Batman. This thing's going to be huge. If you haven't seen anything about this film, get out from under your rock because The Dark Knight is big and it is coming.
Neil.
What?
Neil.
What?
Why so serious?
All right, moving on to our honorable dishonorable mentions. We instead of doing honorable mentions, we decided to just do one of each. Of the movie that we are looking forward to the least. That, you know, and I think both of these are films that other people are looking forward to. We just have no interest in seeing them.
And it's not 27 Dresses.
No, because nobody wants to see
that. Nobody's
looking
forward to that. I don't think even Katherine Heigl and her nasty, gnarly teeth are looking forward to that movie.
It'll be her and Kirsten Dunst in a theater together
doing the whole,
eating popcorn
that
loudly.
Would be, oh, wow.
So.
Quiet. We can't. Our teeth won't let us.
So anyways, what's your dishonorable mention?
I would go back to my aforementioned Sex and the City, the movie. Yeah. I have a great article on Film School Rejects right now about, you know, why is it they're 41 and 42, and then like Kim Cattrall's like 51. Right. I remember 10 years ago when the show was being canceled, they're like, are they a little too old to be playing hot starlets? And they they talk about everything with like golden showers and female orgasms and doing it
right. And it's gonna be PG-13.
Is it going to be? Is that a given?
I don't know. Allegedly,
they're going to have to.
This is what I'm hearing on the streets.
Well, because anyone can watch HBO, but you can't get the high school girls. 16-year-old high school girls aren't going to be able to flock to the movie theater,
right?
Trying to be edgy and everything. And who wants to see Sarah Jessica Parker's face that like 20 feet tall?
Right.
Not even. What's his name? The DUI crashy guy, Matthew Broderick. He doesn't even want to see that. He's got her close
that's,
enough.
That's home. Her husband, Sarah Jessica
Parker.
Yeah,
but he doesn't want to see her like that.
Anyways,
that's why he doesn't go to movies.
Mine is Star Trek.
When he hit me with his car.
Mine is the J.J. Abrams directed Star Trek movie.
So he's
directing this. So, and I'll tell you why. I was excited for the film when it
is Greg Grunberg going to be in there somewhere.
I don't know when they first started talking about it. And Zach Quinto was cast as Spock. I was like, all right, cool. Awesome. I could get into this, whatever. And then they started releasing some of the other cast. And we're going to talk about one in the next segment. But John Cho from Harold and Kumar and Simon Pegg as Scotty and Carl Urban as Bones. I know that these are young versions of the characters that were in the original Star
and
Trek.
And David Duchovny as Uhura. I don't think fits at all.
This is just going to be the stupidest thing. And what a big waste of money this film is going to be. That somebody's giving J.J. Abrams, the guy who, I'm sorry, but he's annoying because of the whole Cloverfield thing. Oh, I don't want to tell you what the film's name is. Oh, we're not going to show you the monster. You probably don't even see the monster in the movie. It's so anticlimactic. I was reading something online about, and somebody made a really good point about, J.J. Abrams always like says he's got this huge like twist like in Lost, and it's like nothing.
It's not even.
You know, like Lost is just gonna end one day. He's gonna, you know, whatever.
You know what the Cloverfield
He's just
monster
annoying to me. The Cloverfield monster is gonna be
the black mist from Lost.
Probably the mist. Yeah. So, whatever. Get out of here, Star Trek.
Now that you've completely alienated J.J. Abrams.
I'm sorry. He annoys me. Whatever.
You just don't like those glasses he wears.
As soon as he makes a good movie, I'll be the first one to stand up and say, hey, good job, J.J. Abrams.
You don't like Mission Impossible 3?
No.
Do you think that Star Trek is going to have...
What's her name? Monahan.
Yeah. Is going to have a musical montage in there somewhere?
I think it should.
A Felicity-esque thing. This will be a scene from it. What it'll be is like, you know, Kirk will be in his quarters sort of brooding, and Spock will knock on the door, look up, and go, hey. Can we talk? that's like every, you know, J.J. Abrams
nice.
Show.
I honestly think that Star Trek, the fans, the very rabid population of Star Trek fans out there.
And they're psychotic.
Who really love honest. Their, like I made a quote one time that said, there are no good Star Trek movies. And I got killed.
Dude, what about Star Trek 4 or Star Trek 2?
There were death threats
Wrath of Khan
in my
Rock,
mailbox
dude.
The next day.
That's because you're an idiot.
And I will tell you that I think they're going to be really disappointed with what he's doing with this film. We haven't seen any of it, but I can tell you right now that fans are going to be upset that he ruined their lives. So,
yeah.
There you go. That is it. Those are our top 10 most anticipated and our two least anticipated films of 2008. When we come back, we're going to talk about some news, I think. Right?
Sure.
All right, cool. If Kevin's still awake, he's going to talk about news. Otherwise, I'll be back. And we're back again, and I'm pretty sure Kevin's still awake here.
Sort of.
you keep almost dozing off on me here. I can't believe you're like this at noon.
Yeah, it's noon somewhere.
In Tokyo.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Give me my martini. That's what I say. Are we supposed to be sounding off at this point?
Yes, it is time to sound off. We've got plenty of fun topics to talk about. First one is that there's a little rumor going around that not only that Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard are dating, but also that she intentionally said that she was not going to go to a publicity event because she was going to be double billed with him.
Yeah.
And she did not want to...
I think
I don't know.
The publicist,
I don't know what she didn't want to do.
Yeah, the publicist is saying that she doesn't want to become another Bennifer, doesn't want to become another Tomcat. I just think that she doesn't want anyone to publicly, she doesn't want to publicly admit that she's dating Dax Shepard.
Right. I wouldn't want to either. He's Dax Shepard. He's annoying.
Yeah.
He's like J.J. Abrams in my book. Which is annoying. Maybe if you listen to the internet only segment, you would know what that means.
Why you're completely lashing out at J.J. Abrams. People on, you know, the radio are going to be, what is his problem with J.J. Abrams?
Well, no.
What is with J.J. Abrams?
If you go back to, go to fatguysandmovies.com, listen to the internet only segment, we run down our...
really, you shouldn't.
Our 10 most anticipated films of 2008. And let me tell you, Star Trek is not one of them.
But so. Dungeon Siege in the Name of the King is...
Right, and anything starring Lucy Liu is also on there.
What's she in?
I don't know. We need like another Blood Hunter movie.
Oh, that was awesome.
So, but I tell you what, I'm not into Hollywood couples until I'm half of one. I don't really care. So until Kristen Bell is skipping out on publicity things because she doesn't want to, you know, steal my thunder, I'm not concerned. Whatever. So there you go.
If I could just have Kristen Bell in front of me in a bikini, that'd be cool.
She is in, I will say this, Forgetting Sarah Marshall looks pretty good for next year. It's another Judd Apatow movie, but not like not like Dewey Cox, Judd Apatow, more like Knocked Up.
This one's not going to win any awards. This one's not going to get nominated.
Yeah.
Which
would then thus kill
all of its box office. Yeah, my theory is that's totally what killed Walk Hard. People are like, I'm like, well, you know, this movie might be pretty good. Whoa, it got nominated for Golden Globe. Foreign press liked it. It must suck.
Right. So, anywho, moving on.
Next.
This is a little story that I picked up from our friends over at Wizard Magazine. They did a little Q&A with Alan Moore. And he said something along the lines of, hold on, I had the quote in front of me and now I don't.
You're such a professional.
I am such a loser.
Can I just say this before we even give the quote? Because I don't think it's going to affect what he says. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen Alan Moore?
He looks like a hobo.
He is like a brilliant. He's like Frank Miller, brilliant graphic novelist. But dude, get a comb.
So he looks like a hobbit. But anyways, so he made this quote to Wizard Magazine. He said, I got a piece of paper. They must have learned something from the V for Vendetta debacle. I got a piece of paper a couple months ago saying, I, the undersigned, hereby give permission to take my name off the film and send my money to Dave Gibbons, who is the artist. So I sent it back to them all signed and sealed, which means that now I don't have to rant and spew about the film. But he still wants to talk about the
film.
This
guy's never happy about it.
I'm sorry, but V for Vendetta was a good movie. I mean, how much better do you think you can make that movie?
No, it wasn't. You could actually like not have giant speeches in there. And
what does he want to
play stuff in real time?
What does he want to say about, like, that'd be like Frank Miller complaining about 300. How much better can you really make 300 into a graphic, from a graphic novel to, you know, a movie?
I mean, this would be like Alan Shredder Goldstein complaining about a hot dog contest.
Right. I don't know what that means. But it's literally people, you know, complaining about comic book adaptations being a little too comic-y. Yeah. I'm sorry, it's adapted from a freaking comic book.
Yeah.
So I don't understand, why he needs to be so upset about people making the film. So the film's not even made yet. It's not out yet. The only stuff that we've seen looks great. And B, why is he even talking about it in the first place? Like,
shut up, Alan Moore.
It's kind of like that, you know. Hey, look at me. I'm not going to talk about this movie that I'm talking about right now.
Yeah.
So, whatever, Alan Moore.
You're there.
I love all your novels, but you're annoying me right now. It's you and J.J. Abrams right up there.
Okay, with the J.J.
So, next topic is a little article in USA Today said that 2008 will have less sequels than last year. 16 sequels will be released in 2008 compared to 25 in 2007. Does this make you happy at all, Kevin?
this is my take. Look, you know, sequel or not, a good movie is a good movie, a bad movie is a bad movie. There are some sequels out there. Like, I thought Live Free and Die Hard was a lot of fun. It was a great movie. On the other hand, I thought Shrek the Third stunk. So you can't say one.
Spider-Man 3 was like the worst movie of the year.
Up to you. I mean, but my point is that I don't care how many sequels. Just can you tell me how many movies are going to be decent this year?
Right. Right. I think a lot of people, a lot of the sequels from last year were big box office draws because they're familiar characters and, you know, people will go see that, but you have to, you're right. You have to make a good movie either way. You know, Sam Raimi.
Well, but no. I mean, let's look at it whether or not, you know, if you just want to talk even just success, whether or not it's quality, but at least success, because that's what
the sequels were very successful.
In the top six movies, grossing movies of 2007, only one of them was not a sequel.
That was Transformers.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. See? There you go. So, okay. Make some more sequels. Yeah. Good enough.
Whatever.
And the last one we're going to talk about, my favorite topic of the show, Star Trek. Tyler Perry has been confirmed as being in Star Trek. He's been confirmed to play the head of the Starfleet Academy.
Which, interestingly enough, farther down the line in the history, like the future history, he's like arrested for collusion with the Klingons or something like that.
Nice. All I can say is traitor. That if Tyler Perry shows up in a dress in Star Trek, it will
that
cause,
would be hilarious.
It will cause a riot.
Oh my God! What happened to you?
It will cause a riot.
Sorry for the momentary demonic possession.
I will say
on
though,
Neil Miller.
If J.J. Abrams would like to redeem himself, he will have Madea in the film.
He should have Tyler Perry play Uhura as Madea.
Nice.
That would be awesome.
Nice. And the last topic, we have only a few seconds left here, is that the Golden Globes were denied a waiver by the Writers Guild of America, so the writers will not be able to attend.
That's
and accept
stupid.
Their awards.
They should be able to at least get their awards. They're not striking their awards. And second of all, nobody cares about the doggone ceremony. They just care who wins.
Right.
And just, they don't even care about the Golden Globes because they got like 9,000 actors for Best Picture or whatever. And no, they just care about who wins the Oscars.
There you go. Anyways, we will be back momentarily. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys the Movies. Pretty sure Kevin has fallen asleep.
I've taken the microphone off the stand.
Right. He's.
I'm not even in the shock mount. I'm just... So if you hear rumbling, that's just me holding on to the microphone.
That
Sorry.
Is actually Kevin refusing to sit up in his chair at this point.
So. I am not a good student today. I am so tired.
We'll wrap up the reviews here. We'll start with...
It
Whatever
sucked.
That.
One missed call. It
one,
sucked. It has to suck.
One missed call.
They which, didn't screen it.
They did they, not screen it.
We
it
are
gets,
obligated.
It gets the obligatory preemptive suck. And secondly was the There Will Be Blood, which you saw and I did not.
It kind of rocked.
Kind of rocked. And then The Orphanage.
Kind of rocked.
I say definitely rocks. And The Orphanage, probably one of the more impressive horror films. It was like, it was The Orphanage and... 30 Days of Night.
Those are the only two horror films you saw.
Well, that's because all the other ones suck.
Because you're such so there a you lame-o. Go.
So there you have it. Next week on the show, we're going to talk about First Sunday, which I haven't heard anything about except for that Cat Williams guy is in it.
Cat Williams is cool. Tracy Morgan's. Why do you find Tracy Morgan funny?
He was funny in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah, in
like
that one
seconds.
Scene.
But
he's
otherwise,
terrible.
He's not
Why
that,
do people
not
like
funny.
Him?
So, I don't know. Apparently they try and steal from a church, which there's no way that can go well. So, it's about two guys that get
depends
community
on what
service.
You steal.
The two guys get community service at a church and then try and steal money from
Why
the church.
Why do you have so much knowledge of this film?
Because I have to sit there and watch the trailers. I don't know. I did the 2008 preview. I know every movie that's coming out
every
next
movie?
Year.
What about the Poughkeepsie tapes? Let's talk about that right now.
I know about the Poughkeepsie
really?
Tapes.
You know about them?
A little bit. A little bit of Blair Witch marketing.
A
little bit here and there. Also, the VeggieTales, which we're being assured a review from Kevin Carr next week.
The Pirates Who Don't Do Anything.
Yep, or Didn't Do Anything.
Don't, I don't know what it, I think, well, I wrote Didn't in the show notes, but I think it's Don't.
Okay, and then, of course, Uwe Boll is back, and as he is every January, with another sweet movie. This one actually has Jason Statham in it. It's In the Name of the King, A Dungeon Siege Tale. There's no way that they're going to screen this for us.
Come see the movie to see who had to get a paycheck.
Right.
Who needs a mortgage payment.
Burt Reynolds in a period piece.
As the king.
As the king.
If that's not enough to let a little shiver run up your spine, I don't know what is.
That's kind of like, oh no, and what's his name? Ray Liotta's in it too. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Is he on a jar of honey?
We'll talk about that next week. If you'd like to get in touch with us, fatguysthemovies.com, iTunes store, just search Fat Guys the Movies. Email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can also call us, 614-388-8735. And, that's the whole shebang. And to all of our listeners out there, we say goodnight because Kevin has fallen asleep.
Yeah.
And we're back here on Film School. Oh, no, fucking sucking motherfucker. What?